This is the United States Eventing Association's official podcast. Hello and welcome to the program. I'm Chris Stafford. On the show this week, Mark Donovan will be here with a preview of this year's Carolina International. But first, we hear from Chelsea Coleman, who is currently on the top of the Young Rider Intermediate Leaderboard at the start of the 2016 season. And she tells us why the partnership has been going so well so far this year. Hi, Chelsea. Welcome back to the program.
Thank you.
I know that we've spoken before. You're originally based in Kentucky, of course, but down in Ocala for the winter. And we've got you on the show this time because you're topping the leaderboard already early in the season. So let's talk a little bit about that. Let's start by introducing your partner so far, Dauntless Courage, and how that partnership formed, Chelsea.
Okay, awesome. So Dante is his stable name. That's what we call him. I got him as a three-year-old turning four. I got him for my 16th birthday in February, about 5 years ago. And he was at Asbury College. He was supposed to be a police mount. And at Asbury, they do police horse training. They got him from Canada. He was a PMU baby. They got him as a weanling. So he came over from Canada when he was just a few months old. And it didn't end up working out as a police horse. So he was very spooky and not comfortable in his own skin, really. So I had a friend that boarded with me who went to college there. And she said, oh, you got to come see this horse. He's super cool. And I was not in the market for another horse. I have 13 of my own right now, and at that point I think we had 8. So we were of course not looking for one, but we went to go look at him just for giggles, and I loved him. And they're like, oh, it'd be cool if you could buy him. And I was like, yeah, but my parents won't buy me another horse. Well, a few months later, long story short, my parents surprised me with him. And from there, it took me a while to get him comfortable with everything, because he was very uncomfortable with everything. Went through a few trainers. They didn't like him, left them, found other trainers. They didn't really like him. And so I had a lot of negative energy towards it from other people. So I just kind of branched off on my own and said, yeah, I'll play with them, see what I can do with them. And then I took him to a schooling show and someone said, hey, you should, become a member of USEA and like compete him in the rated shows, the sanctioned shows. And I was like, oh yeah, that'd be fun. So I tried that with him and my pony, and training level with him wasn't super successful. We went to AACs, finished like 14th or 15th. But then we moved up to prelim. I started training with Kathy Weishoff, and everything changed. She has unlocked so many things with him. And we started out at prelim that year, and I don't think we finished at every single show we went to. We did at least one show a month. He either finished second or fourth. Those were our placings all year last year, with the exception of the first show. We got 8th. But it was my first time ever running prelim. It was his first time ever running prelim. And he was super successful. He was very good, very spot on with everything. Cross country was great. Stadium, it was okay. And dressage was decent. And Kathy was like, well, let's move him up. So we started this year off. We did the intermediate at River Glen in November, and he finished third at his first and my first intermediate. Then we came down to Florida, and she said, let's run him at prelim once, just so he can, get the cobwebs out. And you've never been to Florida before, and Florida's bigger. So we did that, and it didn't go well. I finished like 9th, I think. So then we moved up the next weekend to intermediate, or a couple weeks later, and he finished 4th. Super solid cross country, pretty good dressage, very good stadium for us. We had one rail, and then we did rocking horse the following weekend, and dressage was all right. Stadium, we had a double clear, which was huge for us. And then he was finished 10 seconds early on cross country, and we actually won that event, which was super, super cool. 'Cause the biggest thing through our entire career with this horse, they've been telling me, he won't make time. He's not fast. He's super big. He's 18 hands. He's very drafty. He's a thoroughbred Percheron cross. So I get all the time, oh, he won't make time. And I tell you what, he is a beast on cross country. He's got a super stride. He's super calm. I don't have to set him up defenses other than three strides out. And he just comes right back to me. I don't fight with him. We land and we go to the next fence. And that's just how he has always been. He loves cross country. He's very much a cross country horse. And then this past weekend, we did Rocking Horse again, and we finished fourth again. And same thing, he was super solid. We did have two rails in stadium. One of them was kind of his fault, and the other one was definitely my fault. I have a tendency to pick at him in front of the fences, and which is a tough spot for me because I trained him from scratch. I've put every ounce of training on him, and I used to have to hold his hand all the time. And now Kathy's like, Chelsea, let him be the horse that you trained him to be. And I have a little struggle there, but it's getting better for sure. But he's a super, super cool horse. He's super fun. He's super friendly. He's just, everybody loves him, you know, and it's cool to see that because at one point in his life, everyone was like, people would see me with him and they're like, you're wasting your time with this horse. He is useless. Like, nobody liked him. I had to kind of force him on people if I wanted them to ride him or whatever. And now I swear every single person that walks past him just falls in love with him. And he's definitely a character. He's got a big personality and he just loves what he does, which just makes it that much easier to be around him.
Well, for sure. I mean, you really have turned him around completely and turned people's opinions around. But what do you think it was that unlocked him, you know, from being the horse you started with to what you have now? What was the key? I know you said you've got, you know, the show jumping phase needs a little bit of work on. Maybe that's his Achilles heel. But overall, I mean, he obviously made a big transition, didn't he?
Yeah, I think honestly, it's a big problem in the sport nowadays. People are never satisfied. They have a goal, and then when they reach that goal, instead of being happy with it and saying, wow, I did this, my horse did it, they want more and more and more. And when I got this horse, yes, I wanted a show horse, but I was just so infatuated with him. I looked him in the eye, and he looked right back at me, and it was just, it's corny, but I mean, he looked straight through me, and I knew at that moment that, I mean, I was going to be in love with this horse until the day he died. And I didn't care whether he ever went to the show ring. I was like, this horse is fantastic. And so up until training level, you know, I was like, we got to get here. We got to get here. I know we can do it. I want to prove all these people wrong. We got to training level and I was super satisfied. Like I got to training and I was like, woohoo, I did it. And then Kathy was like, I started training with her and she said, oh, let's try prelim. And I was like, really? That's always been my dream since I was a kid. It wasn't go to the Olympics. It wasn't, you know, be on the team. It was, oh, I want to compete at prelim, you know? So it was a very small dream at the time, but it became reality. And this horse did it for me. He's done it all. He is the only horse I've ever taken prelim. He's the first horse I've ever taken prelim. And he really made my dreams come true. And for that, I am so grateful to him. And I think that is what makes it so easy to move forward because there's no pressure. If I never run that horse again, I will die a happy person because he has just made my dreams come true. And every single day, every competition, it's just, it's fantastic. And I feel so blessed to have him. And I think because of the pressure that he had when he was in the police training and all that stuff, it was just too much for him. And he's been a horse that has been through quite a bit in his life. You know, he was a PMU baby, so I know he was not treated well when he was born. He's just always been pushed, I think, and nobody's ever satisfied with him. Even when I had him, and if you want to look at it this way, he became my problem. People still had negative things to say, and people were still dirty about him. And I ignore the haters, and I keep pushing on because all that matters at the end of the day is that I'm happy with him because he belongs to me. And I think that he really, whether you believe they can hear or understand or, you know, whatever people believe, I really think he understands that I am so grateful for him and everything he's done for me. And I couldn't have done it without him. And that's what I think really made the transition because If you would have told me 5 years ago that I would have this horse and we'd be successful at intermediate, I would have laughed at you. I really would have laughed. And so I go into everything with a grateful attitude with this horse because, like I said, he's made my dreams come true and the rest is just a bonus. So I think that's really what's done it, to be honest. And I think that's Kathy is a huge help with me, and every issue that this horse has, like stadium, is all me. He's got the scope. He's got the jump. He can easily get through a stadium round, intermediate stadium round, without pulling rails, but it's me. You know, I'm still going through my head. Am I doing this wrong? Am I going to mess him up? Am I going to do this? And Kathy's really, really starting to help me with that, and it's really starting to sink in. And so other than the few hiccups in stadium that we have, I think that's what did it. I think I'm just so happy to have him, and just to be able to look at him every day is satisfying to me. So I think he really is able to feel that. I think it definitely goes through in our training, and it helps a lot because there's not a lot of pressure.
Does he make you more ambitious now?
Oh yeah, he definitely does. He makes me feel like there's not a thing that I can't do. And he makes me feel like there's not a thing that anyone can't do, if that makes sense. You know, this whole industry is based off of, I mean, people can look at a horse as a 2-year-old and say he won't be a 4-star horse. And to me, that's it. I used to go along with it and, oh, well, they know what they're talking about, but you really don't know what you're talking about. Like that, this horse is not a good mover. He was looked at as a 3-year-old at 18 hands and stupid 100 pounds. I mean, he's a thick horse. And people said he will not make it. And they were adamant about it. They said he would not make it through beginner novice. Well, now the horse is running intermediate and is doing fantastic. So that made me step back and say, sometimes people are so quick to judge that it alters what can and cannot happen. And it's sad that people let that happen, but it's really hard because, you know, the whole industry jumps on things when they see the opportunity. So this has really made me step back and say, not only can I do whatever I want to do, but I can help others do whatever they want to do, and they can help me. You know, like, it's very much so, if he's in and I'm in, we'll get there. 100%, no doubt. I have no doubt in my mind.
Well, clearly he's been, you know, not only realizing your dreams for you, but taking you way beyond as well. So you probably have got a longer bucket list now for him, have you? Have you got new aspirations of where you're going to go? What does that season look like for you rolling out now?
Yeah, I definitely have more dreams now, for sure. They come every day. I think of something new. But for now, what we're doing is we're going to run the 2-star at Poplar and the 2-star at Ocala and hopefully qualify for Young Riders. And if we qualify for Young Riders, obviously we'll do the 2-star in Colorado at Young Riders. Then we're set to come home and run the intermediate at AEC's. Then from there, we will do Morven Park at the intermediate, and then hopefully Fairhill at the 2-star there at the end of the year. So that's kind of where we're hoping to go. Another big thing about me is soundness. This horse has not, knock on wood, has not had an ounce of soundness issues since I've gotten him. He's really solid, but I will not push him past his limit, and if he can't do it, then I will think of something else for him to do, and that's what we'll do. But hopefully, you know, he swims 3 times a week at Kesmark in Versailles, Kentucky, and that's really helped me a lot, and it's really helped him. I can keep the miles off of him conditioning-wise. You know, I don't have to take him out and do 6 trot sets, and that's really helped me a lot. So hopefully we can keep pushing with that, and the 2-star will be a breeze, and then from there we'll reevaluate and see what we're doing next.
And how old is he now?
He will be 9 in May.
Oh,
so he
right.
Is 6-year-old as of now.
Right. Lots of mileage left then on him, for sure. And it seems like you've really developed a very strong bond with him, a great partnership, and lots to look forward to there, Chelsea.
Thank you very much.
Well, the very best of luck. Thanks for coming on the program and sharing your partnership with Dante, as you call him, Dauntless Courage, and for being on top of the leaderboard so early in the season. So the best of luck for the rest of the year.
Well, thank you so much, and thanks for your time today as well.
And now, with a week to go to the start of this year's Carolina International, the organizer Mark Donovan joins me to talk about what we can expect this year. Hi, Mark. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Chris. How are you?
Well, very well. You just had an event this weekend, didn't you, leading up to your big event in 2 weeks' time, which we're going to talk about. But first of all, let's talk about this weekend and how it went.
Well, this weekend was the Southern Pines Horse Trials, which went very well. You mean, I'd like to say we use it as a dry run for Carolina International, but really it stands on its own.
I was thinking that it would be a warm-up event for the big one in a couple of weeks' time, but you think it's a standalone event now, or there must be riders that are using it as a warm-up for Carolina?
Yeah, we had a couple of big shots here, which was always fun, but it's really good to get the staff sort of, the dust brushed off from the winter. And it's really nice to have a real recognized event under our belt before we head into Carolina International.
Right, because that's obviously a big one on the calendar. Let's talk about this. You're the organizer there, Mark. It runs from the 23rd to the 27th of March there in Rayford, North Carolina in Area 2. An important
Correct.
One on the calendar now, this is, Mark, isn't it? Because obviously you're going to attract all the Aiken riders, all of those that are based in North and South Carolina for the winter. So, I mean, significant in terms of the entries. Let's talk about what the overall plan is for the weekend.
Well, we've had a lot of interest this year in the actual CIC divisions, the horse trial national divisions as well, but we've had an increase in entries in the FEI classes, which has forced us to shift our schedule a day. So instead of starting the dressage on Thursday, we have a full day now of dressage on Wednesday, only because we have so many entries.
Wow, that's impressive right there that you needed to do that, bring it back a day. So how many entries would you have in the international division, Mark?
I think we're right around 245 between the 3-star, the 2-star, and the 1-star. But we're above 90 now in the 3-star alone, which is very exciting.
Well, that is significant. So how many divisions do you have in total through the weekend?
Well, we have the three FEI classes, and then we have national horse trials from advanced down through training level. So 4 levels of national classes.
And what are you doing differently this year? Anything new at all on the schedule?
No changes at all. We've brought in Ian Stark to design the cross-country courses. So we've made monster changes on the cross-country course, which is, I think, probably the most exciting aspect for our organizing committee and, it's one of the points that we really want to make to the riders that we're committed to really having a international level cross country.
So what sort of changes has Ian brought to the course then so far, Mark? I mean, are you seeing some subtle changes? You know, obviously going from one course designer to another, there will be, but what are you seeing that are, subtle new tests?
There's nothing subtle about it. It's basically completely different. Not that it wasn't fantastic before, but every time you bring in a new set of eyes and a new designer who comes from a different point of view, they make their suggestions and their changes. And we were lucky enough this year to have support to actually make a lot of those changes happen for Ian. So the course will be completely different.
So a new budget then. I mean, what you're saying is that he had the budget for you to, move it up a gear then. So presenting completely new challenges.
My partner in crime, Jane Murray, made sure that he had the budget that he needed, or we had the budget that we needed to create what he envisioned.
So are you going to give us any sneak preview of what the riders can expect?
Well, we have a really exciting brand new water complex that has a trekkinger involved and a dirt berm leading into it. It's something that I've never seen before. It's quite creative and it's beautiful looking. It'll be really exciting to see what happens there and what kind of draw that gets, even from a spectator point of view, because it's pretty grand. And he's made lots of other changes too. So we have a bunch of new portable jumps. We have he's a little bit different in Ian in that he works a lot in sort of the old school fixed jumps. So we have, you know, we're kind of back to that phase of having jumps built into the ground, more permanent cross-country jumps. So it's cool. It's just different.
Same direction?
No. I get so confused. I look at the maps and I just think, oh my God, what's going on? That's where our kid zone is supposed to be. Now we have cross-country jumps there. So yeah, it'll be different. It'll be different.
Oh, well, you're really going to make the riders curious now with that kind of preview. Lot to look forward to. When just going back to the water, though, have you had to drain that and start again? Have you put new footing in there? What kind of changes did you make fundamentally to that?
We still have our existing Cloud 11 water jump, which is up at the top of the course that draws, it's where we keep our sponsor tent and it draws a lot of spectators.
Mm-hmm.
That jump is altered, but still in existence. The new water complex is completely on the other side of the horse park, in a brand new area. So it will be new from start to finish all the way around. It's just a brand new jump.
So are you doing anything new and different in the arena then that's going to surprise the riders, or are you just back to your... your usual, you know, no shocks. Then I'm just thinking this is going to be a completely different event this year, Mark.
No, we've got some new stuff happening there. The interesting thing about the 3 and 2 star show jumping course is that we have it on the cross country side of the road, mm-hmm. In part of the actual cross country course. So we have this Stonehenge complex, which Ian has added to and expanded a little bit, which sits in the middle of the show jumping course and makes it a little bit challenging and interesting to find tracks that kind of intermingle and go around and use that as an obstacle.
Right.
So... yeah, we've got that. And we've got jumps from Brody Robertson. So they're always shiny and nice and new. And it looks really nice out on the grass.
Now let's talk about sponsors. Obviously key to any event. Who are your principal sponsors? Do you have any new ones that you've added to the family this year?
Jane Murray is tirelessly looking and recruiting new sponsors. I mean, that's her specialty. She's so good at that. We have Cloud 11 Gavilan Farm North, who's our title sponsor. And we've had some shifts in sponsorship. Our sponsor specific to the 3 star this year is Setter's Run. Our 2 star sponsor is our local veterinarian group, Southern Pines Equine Associates, who sponsored the 1 star last year. So they've sort of upgraded and shifted to the 2 star this year, you know, providing the prize money. And Atwood Footing is doing our 1 star.
Well, it's always a fun event in that, you know, you get all the sponsors there, and the tent there by the arena creates quite the atmosphere. Hopefully the weather's going to be generous to you this year. But let's talk about all the side attractions as well. You mentioned that Ian had displaced the kids' zone, so where was that going to be down there?
Yeah, so he better watch his back, because it's Easter weekend and there's an egg hunt, and those kids are going to be mad. But we just shifted things around. So, we do have the kids zone, and you know, the things that are associated with that. We are having an Easter egg hunt. We have a food truck war going on in the vendor area, and we've tried to expand the vendor area this year to almost wrap around our main arena, where we'll have the 3 and 2 star dressage. And then later in the weekend, the national show jumping and the 1 star show jumping, for that matter.
All right.
Now, so that arena is going to have a little more action around it.
Right. Now, are you going to be streaming live this year, Mark?
Yep. EQ Sportsnet is going to stream the 2 star and the 3 star.
Fabulous.
All weekend.
All weekend. So some dressage, yeah, streaming?
The 3 star dressage, and then the jumping for both levels, right, for both classes.
Right. A lot to look forward to then this year, and a lot of surprises, I think. So any riders who are listening, better watch out, because and allow plenty of time to walk that course, because it's not going to be where it used to be, thanks to our friend Ian Stark there. So good luck with that, Mark. Is there anything else that you'd like to share with our listeners about the changes this year?
We're just excited about the changes. We're hoping to improve on the competition every year. We're always mainly concerned about the welfare of the horse and creating a competition where people can bring their horses and learn and educate themselves and do well. And we're hoping that we're contributing to building a strong team. So we're trying.
You certainly are. And just remind everyone where they can find the streaming coverage, Mark, online.
EQ Sportsnet. And we'll have a link to it on the Carolina Horse Park website.
Perfect.
And it will be on Wednesday for dressage, Thursday for dressage, Friday and Saturday for jumping.
Perfect. All right. Well, we'll have a link, of course, on our show notes and on the website at useventing.com. Mark, thank you very much for coming on the program and sharing a sneak preview of this year's Carolina International. And the very best of luck. I hope it all goes well and you get the weather to suit it as well.
Chris, it's always nice to talk to you. Thank you. I am panicked because we had a gorgeous weekend this past for Southern Pines Horse Trial, and I was thinking, oh no, I hope this doesn't mean we're going to run out of luck before the CIC. So fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed, absolutely. Well, a good weekend. So next weekend it can rain, and then it'll be nice footing for your event the following week. We'll look forward to it, Mark.
Right.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Take care. And that's it for this week's program. Don't forget, you can check all the latest leaderboards on the website at useventing.com and follow along with all the latest news on our social media channels at Facebook and Twitter. Until next week, thank you for listening wherever you are in the world, and enjoy your eventing.